From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. In a series of recent tweets, President Donald Trump used the example of Germany to push his anti-immigrant policies. He said on June 18th on Twitter, "Crime in Germany is way up. Big mistake made all over Europe in allowing millions of people in who have so strongly and violently changed their culture." Then on June 19th, he pressed on, saying, quote, "Crime in Germany is up 10%. Plus, in brackets, officials do not want to report these crimes since immigrants were accepted. Other countries are even worse. Be smart, America." That was Donald Trump on Twitter. It should not surprise anyone that Trump was lying. Crime in Germany was at a 25-year low in 2017. Germany has, under the leadership of Chancellor Angela Merkel, welcomed hundreds of thousands of immigrants and refugees into the country who are fleeing war, violence, and poverty from Middle Eastern and North African nations. For this, she now appears to be paying a heavy political price, as one of her government's coalition partners has given her an ultimatum to tighten immigration rules or face losing her position. But Germany has a unique history with respect to refugees and immigrants, and joining me to put the current moment into a cultural and historical context is Ruth Priscilla Kirstein. She is an expert on anti-Muslim, anti-Jewish, and anti-refugee violence in Germany. She holds an MD and a PhD in medical ethics from the University of Freiburg, and her PhD dissertation investigates the early days of the controversial German neuropsychiatrist Alfred Erich Hoesche. Welcome to the program, Ruth Priscilla.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. So this is a situation that Germany and Europe as a whole has struggled with for the past several years. We've seen the largest levels of migration in a very, very long time, possibly ever, in a short period of time of people fleeing war and violence and coming towards Europe. What should we think about when it comes to Germany? Because, of course, as I said, there's a unique history with World War II that is still fresh in the minds of many Germans today, right?
The current influx of immigrants and refugees really represents a great opportunity for Germany. Germany, as we know, has killed or forced out a large percentage of its population, of its German population, in the 1930s and 40s, and has afterwards faced the difficulty having labor in the country, brought in a large amount of so-called guest workers, Gastarbeiter, from Turkey, Spain, Italy, and other countries, Northern Africa, and has never really integrated this group, or it had the intention to integrate them. At this point, Germany is facing a challenge in terms of having a sufficient amount of qualified labor, qualified workers, particularly in tech and science, and is making active efforts to bring in intelligentsia from abroad. Now, you have to see these two phenomena that are happening at the same time. There's controversy about young and talented refugees coming to the country who are willing to work. And at the same time, there's an active effort to bring in brain power to the country. And this is a magnificent opportunity to link those two efforts. Germany has largely had a low birth rate and has not really fostered its own talent for a long time in the post-war era, and was not a very child-friendly country. So there's a void that needs to be filled, and I think this is a fabulous opportunity.
What is the, as far as you can tell, the sentiment toward refugees and immigrants within Germany? I mean, if we believe Trump, or even if we believe some of the right-wing forces within Germany, the country does not want refugees or immigrants. But is that really true? Are generally speaking, ordinary Germans open to the idea, like their leader Angela Merkel is, that immigrants and refugees are, can actually be good for their country?
Well, there are wonderful people who, with warm hearts, who've done a tremendous work receiving those people coming to the country. They need to be acknowledged. Generally speaking, I would say, and this is something that might also cast a light on the American situation, there has been an issue right after World War II. With an artificial narrative being imposed onto the population that had just emerged from the war, had suffered, had witnessed to different amounts of of exposure, the killing of the Jewish population, and suddenly had to follow a narrative that was largely imposed on them that would kind of glorify, sanctify a Jewish population that was no longer there. And in this context, put it on a pedestal in the absence of real Jews, largely with you know, it's the exception of a few people, that there was nobody around anymore to have a real interaction. So this narrative had to be followed, and there was no way to have a more realistic representation of a population. And as this narrative was imposed on people, and as other challenges the population were facing economically, also in view of the reunification, were often brushed under the table, and there was not a possibility to have a more diverse narrative. I think anger has been building up, and we might, in a very different context, we might be having a similar situation in the US where, a large part of the population has had serious grievances and had to follow a narrative of political correctness, which obviously is justified, but which they felt was not part of their experience. And so this is a dangerous situation, which in my mind can lead to radicalization. And so you see in Germany a situation where such an artificial narrative that was imposed following the war, then a sort of substitute religion, which became the building of the European Union, and the reunification, which represented tremendous a challenge for a large amount of the Eastern European,
So you're
Eastern.
saying there was basically a backlash against a artificial narrative, and the Germans haven't fully reconciled with their past.
Yes, I would say so. I would also say that the way in which the country deals with trauma requires improvement. The population that came back from World War I had experienced tremendous trauma. Then came World War II. People who came out of this then had a completely new experience. The economy was very successful. However, the way in which the country still deals with trauma, with violence, which has been existing on an ongoing basis, is not fully developed. There's insufficient attention on the one-on-one basis. In the human interaction, and there's insufficient care. There's insufficient setup for medical care in this respect. So now the country is utterly unprepared to receive a large amount of people who have experienced tremendous amounts of trauma.
So what are is there a similarity that we are seeing today between the kind of sort of anti-Muslim sentiment that often gets reflected onto the new immigrant population and what we saw in terms of the anti-Jewish anti-Jewish sentiment during and before World War II? I mean, of course, that is the big danger that that there may be such a whipping up of anti-immigrant or racist sentiment that, you know, we could see this history coming back, this dark chapter of Germany's history rearing its head again? Or is that exaggeration?
Absolutely. I would say whether you've been there for 300 years or you just walked over the border, the experiences can be very similar. And I think it is necessary in order to have a powerful response for the German Jewish population, the German Muslim population, to acknowledge that, and the Semitic population in general, which includes Jews and Arabs, that they are facing very similar challenges and that they are in the same boat. This is not happening at this point. There are different efforts underway, there are different narratives that are being created, different defense mechanisms, and I think this is not productive at this point.
I want to pick up on what you said about the inability of the German system to deal with a deeply traumatized population. This goes back to these assertions of crime. Even if overall Germany is experiencing a dip in crime, despite the entrance of hundreds of thousands of immigrants and refugees, a single or a small number of high profile incidents or crimes linked to the immigrant or refugee population can have a much bigger impact on the optics of those scenarios play out in a very different way, right? We tend to inflate the crimes committed by immigrants compared to the crimes committed by native-born citizens. The same is true in the United States, that actually the immigrant population commits fewer crimes in the U.S., but among those who, very small numbers who do commit crimes, those are then used as the, you know, sort of bogeyman to say all immigration must end. Is that happening in Germany as well, where one or two incidents that are high profile linked to traumatized immigrant communities are being used to say we can't have any immigration?
Yes. The violence has been an ongoing feature in the population for a long time. Different types of violence in schools, in the public space, perpetrated by Germans. And this is now largely being pushed in the background by very, very strong attention that is being given to, yes, sometimes terrible crimes that are being committed by those refugees that are coming to the country. And I think it's necessary to remember the past years and not to have a short memory in terms of the past years and how Germany has evolved.
What advice would you give German Chancellor Angela Merkel in terms of that historical and cultural context that really should be centering the conversation around immigration today? She seems to want to be trying to do the right thing. She's facing a backlash. Her opponents are whipping up this anti-immigrant, anti-refugee frenzy. And, you know, in the end, she may feel like it's politically expedient to go along with them and close the door on a desperate population from which Germany could benefit, as you said earlier, if done right. You know, Germany does need to have a population influx. Its birth rate is low. It needs more tech workers that it can, you know, sort of have a good connection with immigrants if it were to do it right. So what advice would you give Angela Merkel?
It's a long-term effort. So I do think precious time has been lost. It's going to be very hard to catch up, but it's absolutely necessary. I don't have any specific advice other than really, really focusing on the one-on-one interactions between human beings and looking beyond the party lines at this point, because people of all walks of life, of all political affiliations, have been having sometimes weird approaches and feelings towards the other. And I think this is obviously a major challenge she's facing. And there's a lot of work simply to be done on the ground, in schools, in workplaces, in hospitals, on an everyday basis, in order to stabilize the situation.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Ruth Priscilla. Good luck to you and thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Ruth Priscilla Kirstein is an expert on anti-Muslim, anti-Jewish and anti-refugee violence in Germany, sharing with us the historical and cultural context of what is currently happening in Germany with its struggles, political struggles on immigration and refugee populations. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes and Vimeo.